Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
I didn't listen to it.
Okay, that's great.
What?
So.
She just licked my ear.
No. No, we are not doing that.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Okay, so.
The show is about promoting
Macquarie University's
radio
student stories.
And act like some sort of journalist.
Act like some sort of journalist.
Put your feet up and enjoy.
It's the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
2SER 107.3.
Good morning. I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday. You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a takeover by the students of Macquarie University. I'm Jesse Klaas. I have a great show ahead for your listening pleasure today. I have two interviews, an exciting fictional drama. The first interview is by myself. It's where we talk to a paramedic and hear some of the daily struggles and dilemmas that he faces on the job. The second interview is with a children's entertainer, and our drama is magical. The first song we have is by Aaron Fraser, Ride With Me.
You're listening to Macquarie Student Sunday Sessions with Jesse.
Now, What happens when people are tired, hungry, and repressed? Well, add the monarchy, dragons, and peasants revolt, and you've got the new radio drama, The Dragon's Village, by Macquarie student Isabel Ronsky. It's up now.
And it's days like today that I really question life. The palace corridors are cold, and the brick does nothing to keep the chill out, while the king is fat and happy, surrounded by food and drink. And I'm one of the lucky people. My friends and family that live down in the village have to deal with leaking roofs and too little food. Luckily, we have our protector, an almighty dragon that drops off fresh meat to the village to keep them from starving. The king controls the village with his knights, who are always breathing down my neck to deliver his lordship's wishes to the townfolk, which are all lies. Honestly, it's all such a kerfuffle, and I'm tired. It's a long run down to the village with mud and horse shit clinging to my boots, and it's ridiculous. I go all the way down there to people who are my friends and family, and then I have to walk up these stupid little stairs to a sorry excuse of a stage and tell them more crap that the king thinks they actually believe. Greenvale is such a peaceful town, and it's right at the bottom of a hill that leads to the castle of our reigning monarch. And I dread to think of what will happen if they refuse to comply with the king's decree that I'm about to deliver. But, alas, there's nothing I can do but be the bearer of bad news.
Hear ye, a royal proclamation from the king. A dastardly crime has been committed yesternight.
Oh no.
Another hanging. Serves him right, the fat bastard. Wonder who it was this time.
The king's prime harvesting field was burned to the ground in an act of extreme violence by the dragon that lives in the cave past the village.
Dragon? What dragon?
I didn't see no dragon.
Never come down here, does he?
Sorry, I'm only supposed to use that at the start and end of my proclamations, but I thought it's a good way to get your attention. I reckon you need a little bit of town history right about now. You see, normally you'd think, oh yeah, kill the dragon, smart idea. But I have lived in this town my whole life and have seen but one dragon. When I was a tiny tot wandering around the village, a little hatchling got blown down by a strong gust and landed in the field. It flew off in 2 seconds flat, and that was that. However, there's a legend that a brave villager was hunting when he was killed by knights for hunting outside of the village fields that was supposedly belonging to the king. The dragon, who witnessed this, took both the man and the meat home, for they are very intelligent creatures, you see. And from that day on, would deliver meat in the dead of the night to the town. That is why the story of the dragon burning down the king's crop field is obviously false. The right bastard. And I reckon, although I have no proof, so don't tell anyone, that his lordship let his son Fredriel set fire so they'd have a reason to kill the dragon and to stop our only constant food source. Honestly, the horribleness of that man knows no bounds. Making us go kill our only savior, we'll starve. Anyway, now that you know, we best get back to it.
Thus, by royal proclamation, all those willing and able must set forth on a quest to avenge the king and slay the dragon.
Without him, we'll starve!
He's done more for us than you ever have, king!
What a stupid thing to come and tell.
The dragon keeps us alive!
Who does he think he is?
I'm not willing.
Here, here.
You don't deserve our respect.
We're not gonna slay that dragon!
The party shall leave at dawn tomorrow. All those who refuse to enact the king's wishes will have their taxes raised. I repeat, all those not willing will have their taxes raised.
How dare you!
Us to do his dirty work.
Let's kill him.
You're not my king!
No, that's it. I refuse to. I'll kill the king before I kill that dragon.
Finally. I thought I'd never get off that stage. I'm worried though. I thought I saw a knight in the crowd, And if they heard everyone's reactions, well, that damn near bordered on heresy.
That was the first episode of The Dragon's Village by Isabel Ronsky. You can hear the next part in 2 weeks to find out what's happening in the town of Fizzlewitz. Or you can check out the 2SER website and search Macquarie Sunday Sessions. You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Jesse Klaus and 2SER 107.3. The next song I have for you is Walking on Your Name by The Skeleton.
SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
2SER's weekly email newsletter is your guide to everything that's happening at 2SER. It's your chance to win exclusive prizes, links to on-demand highlights, and to find out what's coming up on your favourite radio station. Sign up to 2SER's weekly newsletter now at 2SER.com.
You're on 2SER 107.3, listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Jesse Klaas. The first song you heard was Walking on Your Name by Skeleton, and the second song was De Facto Blues by Michael Beach. De Facto Blues is a Born to Lose anthem that Beach describes as the sound of people totally at their wit's end. Next up I have for you is a feature from myself. Just a content warning here, this feature talks about issues of mental health, addiction and suicide. If you are suffering from any of these, please listen with care and seek help if needed. Have you ever thought about some of the tough decisions paramedics face on a daily basis? In this feature, I talk to a paramedic and hear some of the dilemmas he deals with in the front line of duty. When coming up with an idea for this piece, I struggled a bit. But like with all good things, this one just happened to pop in front of me, literally. I often come home to seeing an ambulance parked out the front of my house. Like most people, my first reaction to seeing one is to stop panicking and worrying what might have happened to one of my family members. But this panic quickly goes away when I see a friendly smile and a wave of a hand.
So I'm Dan Wilson. Been a paramedic for close to 10 years now.
Dan is my neighbour. He is a kind, gentle and smiley ex-primary school teacher who is now, in his words, serving his community. I'm personally a big fan of medical shows on TV, so I thought I might use this opportunity to pick Dan's brain for some stories and dilemmas he's faced while out on the job serving our community. Most of his stories were based around dealing with patients who are suffering from mental illnesses, ranging from issues with gambling addiction to dementia and sometimes to cases of attempted suicide. In a lot of these cases, Dan has to make some difficult decisions.
We have to do everything we possibly can. It's a horrible feeling having to take away someone's rights as a human being and force them to go somewhere. And it's something that I don't take lightly. We're given quite strong powers. It's called a Section 20. And it's where I can actually physically take someone from their environment because I believe that they are mentally unwell or mentally disordered. Mentally unwell being they have a previous diagnosis of mental health and mentally disordered. They're behaving in a manner that is harmful to themselves, physically, generally, but also it can actually go a bit deeper than just that as well. So a recent case was we were called to someone who has ended up in jail because of gambling addiction. And then recently they have started gambling again. And their family were very concerned because they were taking money from the family to go and gamble. And it's a very bizarre situation because it's not something that we would be involved with on a regular basis. But having to take that person and take away their rights and force them to go to hospital because they are a...
At this point, Dan opens up his phone and gets out the definition for what he's trying to explain.
The wording is, any likely deterioration in the person's condition and the likely effects of any such deterioration are to be taken into account. This person suffered from bipolar disorder, suffering from very highs and very lows of mood. He denied that he suffered from this, but I was informed by a reliable source, his family. So I have to believe people, and he was behaving in a manner where he was in a hyper state and he was walking down a path where he's ended up in jail for previously. So I believe that he was showing signs of deterioration in his mental state, and he was had a mental illness. I was having to trust those reliable sources, and I had to force him to come to hospital with me. So that was a recent case, but this is something that we often have to do, more around self-harm and suicidal ideation. But this was, a little bit more tricky than the usual case because there wasn't a direct harm to himself physically, which is what we're usually involved with, making sure they stay safe. But he was harming to his reputation and harming to his name, particularly around his family. They were he was behaving in very bizarre manners, disappearing for many hours in the middle of the night and being found by police in gambling locations.
When finishing up my interview with Dan, he discusses some other issues he faces with sometimes volatile patients or their family members, and how they can sometimes become violent towards him and his partners, and the difficulty they sometimes face when a patient refuses their help.
And it's hard when you sign up for the job, you want to help people. That is the primary aim. To turn up and help people. Often that help is just taking them to hospital, or it could be doing all sorts of wonderful things. But our words are often the most important tool that we have, and letting people know that they're safe, and letting them know that they have the right to make their own decisions, but this is what's best for them, and trying to convince that beautiful Nana who's ready to die that it's not tonight that she needs to do that. She can be in a better place and more comfortable. Yeah.
I think what I learned through my conversation with Dan is that ultimately he just wants to help others the best way he can. Maybe through teaching the younger generations, or now serving his community through helping others at their most dire moments in life. He goes about his work having to deal with some of the worst life has to throw at us. But he does it to get that 1% of gold
where it can help someone in our community to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I believe we can relate this to our own personal lives. Maybe getting up early and training to reach a weight goal, or staying late at the office to complete a work assignment. It's all about working through the difficult times in our lives to find those beautiful 1% moments of success.
I'm a big fan of Dan, and I wish him and all frontline workers all the best during these trying times. You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER with Jesse Kloss. Was Learn Your Loneliness by Graf Reis. That song is part of a Seeking New Gods album, which explores people and the civilizations and the spaces people inhabit over periods of time.
You're listening to 2SER with Jesse, 107.3.
I have a little feature for you guys now. It's called On This Day, the 2nd of May. So some, I'm going to go over some interesting points that happened on this day. In 1995, at the end of World War II, more than 1 million German soldiers officially surrendered to the Western Allies in Italy and Austria. And on the same day, the Battle of Berlin ends and the Soviet army takes Berlin and General Wilding surrenders. On this day in 1997, Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery is released, starring Mike Myers and Elizabeth Hurley. On their official website, the UK Ministry of Justice revealed that at the time, every week, they had one person who wanted to change their middle name to Danger, claiming that it was inspired by the line, Man of Mystery, Danger is my middle name. In 2011, Osama bin Laden, the suspected mastermind behind the September 11 attacks and the FBI's most wanted man, was killed by the US Special Forces. In 2015, seen as one of the most anticipated sporting events in history, Floyd Mayweather Jr. beats Manny Pacquiao on 12 rounds in the world welterweight unification fight. It shatters all financial records for a boxing match at $410 million in revenue. But according to the critics, the fight was seen as a bit of a letdown.
Get lost, madam. On Saturday, May 22nd, 2SER's Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon features Bob Dylan 1970, Bob's recent album Rough and Rowdy Ways, plus singer-songwriter Emma Swift on her brilliant album of Dylan covers, Blonde on the Tracks. From 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., catch rare tracks, news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the songs that fit. Don't miss the annual Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon from 8 p.m. Saturday, May 22nd on 2SER 107.3.
You're with Jesse Klass on Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER. The next song I have for you is As Long As You're Mine by Pearl Charles. That was As Long As You're Mine by Pearl Charles. Just a quick correction. I said 1995 instead of 1945 when I mentioned that World War II German soldiers surrendered to the Western Allies. Moving on. Each year, parents scratch their heads for ideas to top their kids' last year's birthday party. Should they add more balloons, a bigger cake, maybe do it at some fancy play center? But quite often, the answer is a character like Spider-Man or Elsa or even Harry Potter. Let's follow a Macquarie student reporter, Sofia Dmitriev, as she gets a little bit closer to ins and outs of what it's like to be a kid's entertainer.
I'd like to introduce a lovely young lady to you.
Hi, I'm Lababa.
Now try guessing, who does she work as? An accountant perhaps, or maybe a singer? Regardless of what you tried guessing, you wouldn't believe what you're about to hear.
I'm a fairy, but depending on the event, depending on the party, I can be a princess, I can be a superhero.
You heard that right. And whilst us adults might say, but wait a minute, she's just dressing up. But in the eyes of kids, she's literally the fairy godmother that can turn anyone into whoever they want to be through face painting, games, and balloons. Lababa works at Dream Team Entertainment, a family-run kids entertaining company.
Well, I feel like to me, personally, it's a dream come true. You know, when you're younger, you're always like, when I'll grow up, I'll be, you know, a princess, I'll be a fairy, and that's who I am right now. But I feel like portraying those characters, you need a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of hard work that many people don't understand that we go through.
Lababa explains that the industry is quite new and people simply don't understand what happens behind the scenes. She even mentions that her friends have an ongoing joke that she's just clowning around. So what's it really like then to be a kid's entertainer?
It's not as easy as it seems. You know how some people think that we just come to parties, we play with kids and we leave after an hour. It's a lot of training. I've been training for years, you know, just to get a stroke perfected, get, you know, a model of a balloon to the perfect size.
Apart from all the hours of hard work that she puts in, I also noticed that entertainers are not being taken seriously. I observed Lababa work at a public carnival, watching the way people treat the work she does. I noticed that there were always individuals who were reluctant about her face painting skills, or simply doubted her with their kids. Adults. Only adults. They would come up, almost hiding their kids behind their backs, asking if Lababa was any good, always pleasantly surprised by the end result.
Regardless, I notice that with the amount of work and money that I put into something that I love so much, whenever someone approaches me and asks me, so what do you do? What is your job? What is your profession? And I genuinely answer, I'm an entertainer, I'm a fairy. And they just kind of go like, okay, but what is your real job? Which is kind of shocking because entertainment is a job and it should be highly respected because of the amount of time, the amount of money that we actually put into it. It's not just a hobby. And I feel like to me it is a real job because it's something that I do every day.
Lababa can truly guarantee the best of her work to each and every person that approaches her, proving their assumptions on her wrong each time. She does hope that people will start to view kids' entertainment as a real job. But for now, receiving bright smiles from kids is enough for her.
I love working with children, so this isn't my first job working with children. I absolutely love seeing the smiles on their faces. You know, their little quirky dances, the little questions that they ask, even when they're starting to kind of ask me very specific detailed questions about my characters. It's fun, you know, it's that role play that's involved in this job that I don't just come there to face paint, but I'm there also to work with the kids, you know, to have some fun with them. And it's really fun. It's not your 9-to-5 business job. It's different. It's special, you know, not just to the kids at the party, to the parents who are as happy as me to see their kids jumping around with the balloons, with their face paint, you know, doing the games. But it's very special to me as well.
Who would have known that kids' entertainment is harder than it looks? My hat goes off to all those making parties that extra bit special. I have three brothers, and we've had entertainers quite often, actually. We've had Spider-Man and Batman, and we've actually had Batman. He thought it would be a good idea to jump on our roof and then, like, jump down to all the kids, to introduce himself. He broke some roof tiles. He was fine, but it's always an interesting experience when they come around. I have a song for you now. It's Two Moons by Buck Meek.
Eyes behind her eyes, I know them from before. Maybe night sky is golden, maybe desert doors to we slept till 8 in the evening. Mine behind my mind. One seed in the soil. Maybe white apples glowing. Maybe apple cores. Full enough for saying time behind our time. I've held her before. Maybe wildfires moaning, maybe summer storms.
You're on 2SER 107.3, listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Jesse Klass. I have another fun fact for you on this day's segment. Today, approximately 260 million Orthodox people are celebrating Easter. Did you know that the Orthodox people dye red the eggs red as a symbol of life and rebirth? Yep, there's even a fun game that people play, competing in a very fierce egg-tapping competition. The owner of the winning egg, so the one that remains uncracked, is said to have good luck for the next year. Happy Easter to all those celebrating it today. You can find all the features you've heard today on the 2SER website. Just search Macquarie Sunday Sessions. I hope you are having a fantastic Sunday. I hope you have a beautiful week ahead. Keep smiling and stay classy.
Get lost, madam. On Saturday, May 22nd, 2SER's Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon features Bob Dylan 1970, Bob's recent album Rough and Rowdy Ways, plus singer-songwriter Emma Swift on her brilliant album of Dylan covers, Blonde on the Tracks. From 8pm to 4am, catch rare tracks, news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the songs that fit. Don't miss the annual Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon from 8pm Saturday, May 22nd on 2SER 107.3.
It's the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
2SER 107.3.
Good morning, and you were just listening to Bridie McDermott on the Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a takeover by the students of Macquarie University here on 2SER 107.3. My name's Izzy Rungsley, and I've got a cracker of a show for you today, jumping from medical scenarios to assholes with attitudes, with a peasant revolt to finish off. But up first, I've got some easy listening with a new song released in 2021. It's Same Old News by Lake Street Drive.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Izzy and Macquarie Student Takeover on 2SER 107.3.
TuSER's weekly email newsletter is your guide to everything that's happening at 2SER. It's your chance to win exclusive prizes, links to on-demand highlights, and to find out what's coming up on your favourite radio station. Sign up to 2SER's weekly newsletter now at 2SER.com.
And that was Same Old News by Lake Street Drive. I just want to let you know that this next story contains some details that may be difficult for some listeners, including prenatal, birth, and infant death. Have you ever considered some of the more difficult situations doctors have to deal with when working in a hospital? In this next story, Jessie Klass, one of our reporters from Macquarie University, speaks to the head of the neonatal department at Liverpool Hospital, and he discusses some of the difficult ethical dilemmas they face.
Doctors have to make a range of difficult decisions on a daily basis. These sometimes can be ethically challenging and don't always have the clearest answer. I speak with a neonatologist and pediatrician to hear some medical dilemmas he faces. But before we jump into the interview, I thought it might be useful to give you some information on premature babies as he talks about them in his story. Most pregnancies last 40 weeks, but a baby born before 37 weeks is known as a premature or preterm baby. In Australia, almost one in every 10 babies are born premature, but thanks to medical advances, this now means that 9 out of 10 premature babies survive. Most Australian premature babies are born between 32 to 36 weeks and don't have any serious long-term issues, but very premature babies are at a higher risk of developmental problems. It is possible for babies born between 23 to 24 weeks to survive, but it is very risky and they fall in what it's called the grey zone. Babies born before 32 weeks and those that weigh 2.5 kilos or less may need help breathing and may be cared for in a neonatal intensive care unit until they develop enough to survive on their own.
My name is Doron Shane and I'm going to tell you about an ethical dilemma. It involves a set of extremely premature twins. The background to them is that they were induced to be born in an unethical way. In other words, the mother was young and she hadn't fallen pregnant. After not very many months of trying, went to see a general practitioner and he gave her a medication that induced these twins. And we feel that that's unethical. In any event, it was a complicated pregnancy. The babies were born extremely premature and we were given a very low chance of survival to start off with. But what subsequently happened is that the second twin has developed a condition called post-hemorrhagic hydrocephalus, which basically means the ventricles in his brain. So within your brain are these little lakes of fluid. They're usually very small, deep within your brain, and they usually flow freely. But after you have a small bleed on the brain, the flow of that fluid can become obstructed. And so instead of the fluid having somewhere to go, the fluid builds up and builds up and the pressure builds up and builds up within the brain until eventually all that's left in your brain is just these gigantic lakes of fluid and it's pushed all the brain tissue to the rim and basically destroyed the rest of your brain. So for us, as medical practitioners and nurses, this is a baby that is 100% going to be severely disabled and therefore we should not be treating that baby anymore from our point of view. But the parents are fundamental religious and will accept survival at all costs, including extreme and severe disability. And they will not hear of withdrawal of care or changing towards palliation. So we've kind of tried everything we can. We've discussed it with them. We've taken it to the unit. We even asked their religious leader to come in. He didn't come in. He sent a message, a recorded message on one of their phones, saying that withdrawing care on a baby like this is tantamount to murder, and so we mustn't do it.
Dr. Shane goes on to say that he and his staff still feel that this situation is unethical and they should not continue to give intensive care, but the parents are still insisting they do so. He then tells me that the twin is doing okay and should hopefully not have any developmental problems at this point.
Do you have any other ethical stories you could share that have more of a positive ending?
I do. I've got one more story. I counseled, this was a while back now. I counseled parents, new parents who had an uncomplicated pregnancy and did not have any of those ethical dilemmas we spoke about previously. It was a natural, normal pregnancy. They were just trying to have a baby and they fell pregnant. And then they happened to have this complication where they were going to deliver a baby at 24 weeks, which is really at the extremes of viability. Like, you know, a couple of days earlier than that and we wouldn't even offer them intensive care. But at 24 weeks, you fall in the gray zone where the parents can make a choice and they can decide either to continue with intensive care, at which point we will be happy to provide intensive care, or they can say the risks are too high, they don't want intensive care, and they are happy if the baby is born to just let the baby pass away naturally. And the first time I saw these parents, I counseled them and they made a decision which seemed reasonable to me at the time, not to continue with intensive care. And then about an hour later, they changed their minds and they called me back and they said, nah, we want everything done for this baby. And I said, okay, well, either way is reasonable. I'm happy to provide intensive care. I'm happy to not, you know. And we said, and they said, no, we've decided, we've thought about it. We want to carry on with intensive care. Sure enough, the baby was born about 3 hours after that. And although he had some hairy moments, he survived and he did really well.
Wow, incredible.
And I actually saw him happen to pass them in the corridor on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And he looked incredible.
That's good.
And I thought back to that very first counseling session and I had shivers down my spine to think.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to see and hear.
Yeah.
That was Jesse Klass talking to Dr. Darone Shane, who, just to correct his title, is a neonatologist and paediatrician in the neonatal department at Liverpool Hospital. I have to say, some of the stories you hear from these doctors are incredible, and I tip my hat to all the hard work they do. Up next, I've got a few tracks for you so you can sail through your Sunday, but make sure you tune in later to join the new radio drama, The Dragon's Village, Episode 2, featuring monarchy, dragons, and revolutionary revolts, only on 2SER 107.3. But first, I've got a song for you. It's Head Rush by Django Django.
Tell me black is white. this moment begins. Someday you might see what I already know. A voice in your head that gets you out of bed. Someday you might see what I already know. You're living in
Welcome back. You're listening to 2SER 107.3 with Izzy Ronksley, and that was Gone by Painted Shrines, and before that was Head Rush by Django Django. Up now, I have the second episode of the radio drama The Dragon's Village by Isabel Ronksley. If you didn't hear the first one, no stress. All you need to know is that the villagers of the town of Fizzlewitz are hungry, and the king is not being a very loving man in their eyes. I hope you enjoy.
Previously on The Dragon's Village.
Hear ye, hear ye, a royal proclamation from the king. A dastardly crime has been committed yesternight, and all those willing and able must set forth on a quest to avenge the king and slay the dragon. The party shall leave at dawn tomorrow.
After that absolute burst of vicious enthusiasm from my friends following my proclamation, I couldn't wait to get back to the palace. The mud weighing down on my clothes suddenly felt light, and I could almost feel my hope exploding out of me. I haven't seen the king in what feels like forever, but it still worries me that I might run into him one of these days. The torches spew fire and shadows across the hallway walls, and the echoing of my steps is endless in the empty space as I hurry to my chambers. Hindsight is a beautiful thing.
For you see, in that moment, I was so thrilled at the idea of taking off the king's head, of masses of villagers swarming the castle, of the knights joining our struggle against our wretched monarch, that I didn't even pause to consider why I never saw our king anymore.
This is bad. This is very bad. There's nothing I can do. I'm stuck in this godforsaken tower like a damsel in distress. My people are starving, they're going to die, and I can't do a damn thing. Ugh. I need to contact the dragon. Immediately. He'll be able to help. He's been delivering food for me for months, and the villagers trust him. He can turn the tide, prove the knights are evil and not me.
On behalf of all the knights, I just thought I should let you know that your death is going to be coming sooner than you think. You think this is a bad sell? Wait till the villagers get a hold of you. They are ready to tear you limb from limb for sentencing that dragon to death.
I did no such thing.
Well, of course we know that, but they don't.
Damn you, you scoundrels!
Hello, me again. In case you were confused, for I know I was when all was revealed to me. The king and the dragon are working together and have been since the knights forcefully took over the palace and locked the king away. Unfortunately for the king, whilst he has a dragon who can fly him out of the tower, the windows are too tiny for him to fit through. You may be thinking, why not just get the dragon to knock it all down? Well, the knights knew how to deal with that. They had threatened us poor village folk with death if he tried any funny business. So, if you remember, we are all currently saying... whilst he is struggling up there to keep us alive.
Aww, don't worry. Soon enough, your precious village won't even exist when we burn it to the ground. But if I were you, I'd save your breath. You're gonna need it when the villagers come barging in here to take your head. Sleep well, Your Majesty. Tomorrow, they will come for you.
And you just heard voice actor Alex Erskine in the second installment of The Dragon's Village by Isabel Ronksley. Tune in again in 2 weeks' time on the 30th of May to listen to the final episode.
The Outpost with Vinnie Ramone is taking a few weeks' break from this time slot and returns on June 6. But you can still catch The Outpost on Thursdays at midday on 2SER 107.3 and anytime you like at the Outpost program page at 2SER.com.
Currently with Izzy on 2SER 107.3.
And I've got another new song for you. It's a 2021 release earlier this year. It is St. Francis Fountain by Virginia Wing. that was St. Francis Fountains by Virginia Wing. You're listening to 2SER 107.3 with Izzy Ronksley. And I was talking to my producer, Sophia, the other day, and we were speaking about hobbies and what we both did in our free time when we weren't swamped with uni and work and life and all that jazz. And she was telling me about the markets she used to go to and do face painting and balloon animal creations at. And I thought that it was pretty cool because I personally do a little bit of knitting and sewing, and I'm just getting into acrylic pouring. But that's such a hands-on thing to do, and to have to stop because of COVID just absolutely sucks. So I wanted to ask you this. What is your hobby? If you've got anything funky or cool you like to do in your spare time, jump onto the Twitter page and at 2SER and let me know, because I'd love to find out. Up now, though, is Smoke by Bull, but make sure you stay tuned, because coming up, I've got the Reddit community Am I the Arsehole right here on 2SER.
Smoke, rising off the cold, hard, desolate concrete, damp, rising through my tattered canvas shoes. Bumps looking more and more like me each day. Thumbs ridden with the dark black sludge of tar. Get me through the day with the help of a close-knit book of friends. Slipping further from me now with every day. Smiths coursing through my veins and sowing me with every second on the takes you far away from clarity. But it's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good because I can't bear the still in silence. And it's good. Because now I don't jump through.
Based on the cult classic film, the Sydney Opera House presents American Psycho the Musical. Step into the office of Patrick Bateman, top of Manhattan's food chain, where image, capitalism and competition are everything, and bloody mayhem is about to boil over. This pitch-black musical comedy explores the deranged world of a psycho killer. Running from June 3 to 27, tickets are selling fast. Book now at sydneyoperahouse.com.
2SER sponsors.
I've been living it up.
And that was Hanging Tough by Ally Crow Buckley. And before that, Smoke by Bull.
Get lost, madam.
On Saturday, May 22nd, 2SER's Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon features Bob Dylan 1970. Bob's recent album, Rough and Rowdy Ways, plus singer-songwriter Emma Swift on her brilliant album of Dylan covers, Blonde on the Tracks. From 8 p.m. to 4 a.m, catch rare tracks, news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the songs that fit. Don't miss the annual Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon from 8 p.m. Saturday, May 22nd on 2SER 107.3.
Now, I've got something fairly different for you now. Not really your usual line of questioning, but how great would it be if all conflicts and issues that you face in life could be solved by random strangers, right? Our MQ student reporter, Sophia Dmitrieva, set out to find out if this is really the case within the Reddit community, Am I the Asshole?
There's been a recent boom in popularity of a Reddit community under the name of Am I the A-hole? It's a place for people to share their everyday stories in which they may or may not have acted as an a-hole, asking the wisdom of an online crowd to justify what they did. These submissions range from very simple inquiries like a minor laundry fault in conflict to the more serious and personal issues. But why are people so ready to share things they otherwise wouldn't have with strangers on the internet?
Would this be the same within a face-to-face interaction? Let's take a famous Reddit story to the streets and see how people react to it in reality instead of from the comfort of a computer screen.
This sounds a bit personal.
I don't really know you, so I don't think I should be the judge in your personal situation. Sorry.
I don't think you should share this with me.
And judging from those responses, people don't actually feel comfortable hearing those things directly as opposed to online. I spoke to a counsellor who sees people every day talking through their personal problems.
There are the good thing about it and there are bad things about it. So the good thing about it, you get to share your story out there, you get to get different perspective. The bad thing about it is perspective is completely subjective. We are unique individuals. Nobody is the same as the other person.
Unfortunately, recently these negatives are, well, outweighing the positives, with people suggesting extremely toxic and unhelpful solutions. Some of these include completely unreasonably cutting off whole families, moving to different countries to avoid confronting the issue, and even plotting ways for revenge.
Opinions like this are a reflection of what's going on in someone's life. So if someone is facing a lot of trouble and have had bad experiences from people overall, they have a negative outlook on life. They're not the best to give out advice and can lead you to make mistakes that you can, like, for example, like you said, cut off a family member when you could have resolved the issue, make the relationship stronger and move on. Learn from the experience.
But that's not it. Once you're deemed an a-hole on Reddit, it becomes the commentator's whole life goal to humiliate and bully you, regardless of how small your undoing was. A Reddit user, MyChickenMyRules453, even famously commented,
"Everyone makes mistakes, but am I the a-hole will act like one mistake is a defining aspect of someone's personality."
So then, is this online platform a good place to seek help and suggestions?
Personally, I think it's not, because not all the people that write on there are trained individuals that are meant to work in the field that I work, like, for example, in counselling.
Whether or not you think you're an a-hole or not, this subreddit may be a good place for a laugh or a small fun chat, but it definitely isn't the place to seek real advice. For this, it is suggested people still seek the traditional professional help.
And that was Am I the Arsehole by Sofia Dmitrieva. Up now, I've got Party Lines by Anna Fox Rachinsky.
Beside and to know rise to gladly serve for you, keeping me.
Thanks for listening in to the Macquarie Student Takeover with Izzy Ronksley here on 2SER 107.3. But stick around, because up next, Tim Sandel is going to take over to continue on your Sunday listening.
Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
I didn't listen to it.
Okay, that's great.
What?
So.
She just licked my ear.
No. No, we are not doing that.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Okay, so
the show is about promoting
Macquarie University's
radio
student stories
and act like some sort of journalist.
Act like some sort of journalist.
Put your feet up and enjoy.
It's the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
2SER 107.3.
Hello there to everyone and good morning to all. I'm Sophia and I'll be starting off the Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a takeover by the students of Macquarie University here on 2SER 107.3. Apart from the groovy music we have planned for you today, you will also hear stories about space, the health industry, and the final installment of the Dragon's Village trilogy. But all that a tiny bit later, but let's start with our very first song of the day, Be Sweet by Japanese Breakfast.
Feel the night passing by like a mistake waiting for
2SCR 107.3, FM, DAB, on demand, live stream and app.
At some point in our lives, some of us dreamed of flying to space, exploring the universe, maybe even landing on the moon. How about we roll back the time to the very first time this was made possible, to the very, very first dreamer 60 years ago.
Dear friends, close and unfamiliar, in a couple of minutes, a mighty spaceship will take me to the far reaches of the universe. My whole life seems to me now like one beautiful moment. Everything that has been done before was done precisely for this moment. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The ascent begins relatively on plan, with each system working like clockwork. As the speed escalates, so does the pressure on the cosmonaut's body. He's pressed into the chair, blood rushing to his head, almost fainting. But regardless of all the physical restraints he feels, he stays positive.
I'm feeling well, tolerating everything just fine.
On the fourth minute of the flight, he sees what no one in the world has ever seen from this point of view before.
I can see everything well from here. Earth is covered with light clouds. I can see how beautiful our planet is.
Looking around, he couldn't help but think about the years of training, the years of sacrifice he went through to get to where he was now. Even risking his life didn't seem to matter. All this just to be first. The responsibility that lay on his shoulders felt much more than the pressure and turbulence he experienced physically.
I commit to successfully accomplishing the task at hand, and if difficulties are encountered, I will overcome them.
During the flight, he monitored various things, ate food, communicated by radio. Everything went well. But certain difficulties arose when the return process began. As a result of an abnormal brake operation, the capsule stabilization is breached. The cosmonaut is sent into an extensive and dangerous spin, plummeting down towards the Earth. With each second, the rotational speed increases, reaching to about 30 degrees each second. The cold-blooded cosmonaut was sure that something was going horribly wrong.
I was sure that the spacecraft was engulfed in fire, and in a few seconds I would die.
He later recalled, however, the capsule was strong enough. On his descent, the cosmonaut parachuted out of the small capsule he was in, landing on a tiny potato field, much to the surprise of the people below. A small 5-year-old girl and her grandmother were the first people to greet the first man in space, Yuri Gagarin. He spent a total of 108 minutes in space, forever changing our understanding about the space in which our planet exists. A truly historic moment. At that time, there was absolutely no reassurance in the reliability of the spacecraft or of the control systems. No one even knew if a human could physically exist in space. This year marks the 60th anniversary of humanity's first venture into space. 12th April 1961 marks the start date of many new firsts in space exploration, with many more yet to come.
How cool is it that just 60 years ago we didn't even know if a human could physically survive outside our planet? But now we always have people up in space stations and are even trying to start a colony on Mars in the near future. Humans won't stop fascinating me.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
She's got a Chevy, double parked with the door
what you just heard was Dark River by Lydia Luz, and before that was Stay in the Car by Bachelor. Now, with a lot of media industries moving down from America to Australia, our very own Byron Bay is set to become a Netflix reality show location, Byron Bays. The show promises plenty of drama and style, yet the show hasn't even started filming and there's already some backlash. The Byron Bay community has started a petition as individuals do not believe the show will be an accurate representation of the place or its people. Another reported concern is the potential for over-tourism from cashed-up American viewers. But given that Netflix has more than 200 million paid subscribers worldwide, this tacky little show could help jumpstart Australia's tourism in the post-pandemic world. What do you think about this? Go to the @2SCR Twitter page and let me know your thoughts on this matter. I'm Sophia, and we have Wrong by Olivia Kaplan right now for you. This next piece is from one of my fellow Macquarie University students, Jessie Klaas, who speaks to a nurse over in the UK and hears some of her more interesting stories while on the job. Quick trigger warning, if you are a bit squeamish, this interview does talk about medical topics. There is also mention of drugs. Please seek medical help if you are suffering from addiction or mental health issues. You can visit the website reachout.com for more information.
I'd like to introduce you to a good friend of mine. She's a fun, cheery person who can always bring a laugh to the conversation.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina. I'm a 26-year-old who forgot her age yesterday. I'm also an Australian who's currently living over in Birmingham in the UK. I'm working as a nurse in one of the local hospitals in the NHS. I came over here before the pandemic. I'm not that much of a martyr, but I have stuck it out. I have a passion, I suppose, for like drug and alcohol health and rehab and that sort of thing.
Our families are good friends, and I saw her father one weekend, and he suggested I ask Gina for some of her more interesting stories she's had while over in the UK. And she was more than happy to share some. And wow, has she seen some intriguing things. We had a lengthy conversation discussing the National Health Service, also known as the NHS in the UK, and the struggles they are currently facing during the pandemic, such as basic GP consultations having to be conducted over the phone, which can cause things to go unseen, or the fact that the hospitals are so overrun that they don't have beds for patients who have come in from drug or alcohol abuse and are forced back onto the streets, which can lead to further substance abuse. But Gina said she didn't want to talk about all the sad things she's seen, but wanted to rather share some of her more whimsical stories she's had.
So I was working in cold recess, again, because we've got hot and cold. And like one of the staff members comes like running up to me and I was like, Gina, you've got a patient. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? No, I don't. Like my, because when you're in cold recess, like my, you have a, like a little bleep, like a pager that goes off when you're getting a patient, and like an alert phone goes off usually because like the paramedics called me in. And I was like, I didn't hear the phone. My pager hasn't gone off. Like I'm helping triage this patient right now. Like I don't have a patient. They're like, no, walk-in stabbing. Let's go. And I was like, ooh, that's fun. Let's go. So we went in and there's a bunch of doctors already surrounding him because I was a bit late to the money. And it's all a bit weird. Like he kind of already has like a dressing that's pulled off him. And I glance down, there's got a hospital wristband on him. And the wound's like not too fresh. And I'm kind of like, all right, what's going on? And I, like, you know, get around to my nurse a bit. The doctor's like really confused. Oh, and he doesn't speak English, right?
The patient, not the doctor. She goes on to explain that the girlfriend who brought him in speaks a little bit of broken English, and she's trying to translate what happens, but the story keeps changing as to why he has a stab wound in his chest.
And the common theme is that he seemed to have stabbed himself, and we're a bit like, okay, like we're not too sure what's going on. You know, we get a few things down, we check that, you know, the wound's not, you know, overtly going to kill him right now. We call for an x-ray so that we can get things in, and we do a portable x-ray when we can't, you know, bring the patient to x-ray. So when we get the patient to x-ray, that's also then like a good opportunity for like me as the nurse to like kind of slide in with my nursing game and be all like, hey girl, you must be worried. Let me take care of you and get the, you know, not get the story out of her, but like, you know, try to find out what happened because it is overwhelming. And it's very overwhelming, like, you know, a bunch of, you know, like big doctors are yelling at you and it's always nice to be kind of taken aside and asked what happened and gotten a cup of tea for, right? Anyway, so we take this girl to the side, and she's like really panicked and she says that he had been at a hospital earlier that day, and he must have run away or something, right? And I was like, why did he go to hospital? Who stabbed him? What happened? And it turns out that this guy has like, you know, an ex-partner with the child, which is, you know, pretty normal around here. And his ex-partner and him had been fighting. So the ex-partner in, I don't know, an act of revenge or something, had gone out and slept with his father. And when he found out, he couldn't handle it and he stabbed himself.
Oh my gosh.
His girlfriend freaked out, saw him stabbing himself, called the police and the ambulance. They all came to his house, took him away. She was like, she was at the house in question for like hours. And then like, just as the police left, the guy must have been like scared or something because he didn't speak English and thought he was in trouble and ran all the way from the hospital to like her house, which is like equidistance of like, I don't know, Hornsby Hospital to St Ives or something.
Which is approximately 8 kilometres.
With a fresh stab wound in his chest. And so she freaked out and like driven him to our hospital. Well, we just like called an ambulance and took him right back after making sure he was okay. But yeah, wild times.
Wow, that's insane.
But my last little anecdote, which is also a favorite of mine, is this guy came in absolutely passed out, just pissed drunk. I think it was when like the pubs had first opened again. And so we put him through the scanner, made sure his head was okay. Had him on the, you know, monitor, making sure his vital signs were all right. He was semi-rousable. And then as they do with people who pass out, he like kind of came to very suddenly. I think he might have like wet himself or something and then like was like, "Wah!" And he was like, "Oh, where am I?" And I was like, "Oh, hey, mate, welcome back to the land of the living. Like, good to see you're alive. We were getting a bit worried about you there." And his honest to God response, he looked me dead in the eyes and goes, "Oh, me, did I take enough drugs to get me to Australia?"
That's great.
Oh, no, bless him, he was so confused.
I would be too. That's incredible. Love it.
I think the thing that I'm most impressed with after speaking to Gina is her joyful, positive attitude to her work and the dedication herself and all healthcare workers around the world have put in and continue to do so even through these trying times. I had an idea. I challenge you. Next time you see a healthcare worker, first, thank them for their time and hard work. And then, ask them to share a cheery story from their lives. We all have something interesting to reveal, and they are all worth sharing.
You just heard from Jessie Klaas speaking to Gina Simon, an Aussie working over in the UK as a nurse. Wow, I always find medical stories so fascinating, and I'd like to personally thank all the frontline workers for all their hard work during these difficult times and wish them all the best. Now, if you'd like to listen again, or you missed any of these stories we've presented on our Macquarie Sunday Sessions, please jump onto the 2SER website and search Macquarie Sunday Sessions to find them right there, up for your listening pleasure.
2SER presents Blake Scott live at Paddo RSL, Friday, June 4. The acclaimed songwriter from the Peak Temple, Blake Scott, will perform his debut album, Nishitam, at Paddo RSL, live with band and special guests, the Melodrones. Blake Scott and band live, Friday, June 4. Tickets on sale now from Paddo RSL and wingsing.co. 2SER sponsors. I'll keep the beers cold.
Next up, we have Big Scary, who after 4 years have returned, announcing their new album, Daisy, sharing the first single, Stay, which is exactly what we have up next for you. Enjoy.
Photographers 5, Macquarie University Art Gallery, May 3rd to June 18th. The latest exhibition at Macquarie University Art Gallery displays the work of 5 photographers. Through powerful images, the artists explore powerful formalist aesthetics, social, cultural realism, political intent, and critical discourses expressing a humanist reverence. Gallery hours Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For associated events, see artgallery.mq.edu.au. Macquarie University Art Gallery is a proud sponsor of 2SER.
With winter creeping up just around the corner, it's getting colder and colder each day. Whilst some are dreading this time, the layer-loving people couldn't be more excited about it. So here's a quick winter fashion trend summary for you. This year, winter fashion trends are all about championing the classics. Cardigans, trench coats, and puffer jackets will always be here to stay. But this season, we are seeing brands spin original designs into a modern look. So if you have a favorite sweater that you haven't worn in a very long time, this is the year to take it out.
You're listening to Sophia on 2SER 107.3.
I was a queen trying to be something I'm not. I walked out the gates, I followed your heart and sold myself out. I'm dressed like a queen, begging in the street, hoping you'll see. Starving to death when I've got what I need. Up on the hill where I used to live, they speak of me. The girl with the gold under her skin, she ruled the freaks. I'm dressed like a queen, begging in the street, hoping you'll see.
The song you just heard was Queen by Julia Stone, and in her own words, it's about selling yourself short and realizing that you don't have to feed off the scraps of other people's love to survive. So if you're a queen, I'm sure your Sunday today is going to be great. Up now, I have the final episode of The Dragon's Village by Isabel Ronksley. If you haven't heard the other ones, don't worry, there'll be a quick recap. So dive straight into the action in the town of Fizzlewitz.
Previously on The Dragon's Village.
With the proclamation to kill the dragon delivered by the village squire,
The town of Fizzlewitz is in uproar and they prepare to storm the castle and kill the king. Little do they know, the king and dragon are working together to protect the villagers from the evil knights who are holding the king captive and want to tear the town of Fizzlewitz apart.
Please, I beg of you, you don't understand. As soon as I'm gone, the knights will kill you. They'll burn your village to the ground. I swear, I'm telling the truth.
Shut up, you bastard.
You betrayed us.
We trusted you.
We are going to kill you.
Look at what you've done.
I wish you were dead.
That was so precious. Look at their faces. Of course they don't believe you or trust after all you've done to
them. It's not true.
Of course it's not.
Confusion was the obvious reaction for us villagers to have. I mean, the knight just admitted they are the cause of the evil and destruction while locking up and isolating the king. And he said it in front of all of us. Why is he not worried about us knowing? Does that not make anyone else uneasy?
The poor little village folk. Minds so simple that they can't even work this one out themselves.
What does he mean?
It's not true.
What's going on?
What on earth is that knight talking about?
Why is the king mad at his own knight?
All the people in the land will see you storming the castle, and we, the brave, heroic knights, must protect our precious king. So he slaughtered you all, burned your village to the ground, and taught the whole kingdom a lesson.
Absolute. Who do you think you are?
The knights would never do that.
What's this going on about?
Who do you think I am? Well, I'm the guy running this place, and you will all bow to me. I've turned the knights to my side, poisoned their minds, and made them traitors to the crown.
Look, it's the dragon.
It's come to save us.
To save you all from the graphic noises of the battle that took place, I'll give you a quick rundown. The dragon swooped down and in one mighty blow torched the evil knight right in front of us.
No!
I have never smelt something more horrible than melting flesh, and I hope I never smell it again. The dragon made short work of the rest of the knight followers before carting off a few of them for what I can only assume would be dinner. But victory is ours! And it was incredible. The mighty beast didn't even scratch a single villager or the king. We can throw away our pickaxes and spears. We don't need them. For now, all is right, and we are safe. And soon we must listen to the king, for his story is yet to be told. From the sounds of it, it will be a long journey full of betrayal. And I have a feeling I'll be delivering a new proclamation in the village tomorrow.
And you just heard voice actor Alex Matthews-Lane, and that was the final episode of the radio drama The Dragon's Village, produced by Isabel Rongsley. If you'd like to hear the whole story from the beginning, check out the 2SER website and search for Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
Thanks so much to everyone who subscribed to 2SER during April. We're so happy you're here with us as a 2SER subscriber. You can subscribe to 2SER online at any time. Just head to 2SER.com for more information and to subscribe today. Thanks for helping to keep us independent and on the air.
I'm Sophia and you're listening to 2SER 107.3. Now, if you love unbelievable melodic indie rock with just enough righteous shredding, then you'll love I Ran Away by Dinosaur Jr., which is exactly what I have for you right now.
I ran away.
There's no question that as Australians, we are currently in one of the best climates and conditions during the global pandemic. And some of the world's A-list 1%ers, encouraged by news reports and social media, are starting to see what we've got. They have noticed that we walk around without masks, go to the beach, and are enjoying our lives without much restrictions, and hopefully this stays this way. But how are they getting into the country when there are thousands of Australians still stuck overseas wanting to come home? Well, there is a special visa called a Global Talent Visa, which allows them to be fast-tracked into Australia in as little as 9 days. But to get you one, you have to be seen deemed as an internationally regarded star. Some of the world's biggest names in music, film, technology, and science are able to gain access to one of the world's most sought-after locations, like our very own Sydney. So keep your eyes open, because you just might start seeing some of the biggest stars on the screen, like Natalie Portman, Melissa McCarthy, or Julia Roberts, around the town much more often. We're finishing up the first session of the Macquarie Student Takeover here on 2SER 107.3. I hope your Sunday morning is going well, and this feeling will continue on with you onto the second half of the day. But make sure that you stay here with us on 2SER Macquarie Sunday Sessions, as up next we have Jared with a lot of interesting things planned ahead for us. So up next we will have the public housing system and the cracks that some people fall through, following that we have a chat with an astrophysicist, Dr. Stephen Hughes, about his thoughts on whether aliens exist. Whether this is true or not, you'll hear all of that up next with Jared. So make sure you do have a good Sunday. And this was Sophia on 2SER 107.3.